Please turn your Bibles this morning to Luke chapter 17. Luke chapter 17. Let's pray. Lord, it is the cry of our heart to bring you praise, not only during this time of worship with our brothers and sisters in you, but Lord, it's the cry of our heart to bring you praise daily in our lives. That's our heart's cry. And God, it's impossible to do it without you. It's impossible to live for you without your power and your strength and the indwelling of your Holy Spirit. Lord, it's impossible to even understand this passage of Scripture this morning that we're about to read unless you illuminate the Scriptures to us and speak to our hearts and to our minds. And Lord, help me and this congregation to be open, Lord, to your leadership through the Scriptures. May you speak through me. I'm nothing without you. And Lord, help us to bring you praise. It's in the name of our Lord and Savior that we pray, and that's Jesus. Amen. This morning, we're looking at a very special word in the English language. And I know love is a very special word, but forgiveness, the word I forgive you, or you're forgiven, those are some special words, are they not? Forgive. Very, very special, awesome word to experience forgiveness or to forgive somebody. I mean, it is just a word and a feeling, a rush of emotions that floods our souls when we from the heart forgive, or we receive forgiveness. You know, the world doesn't like forgiveness. Our entertainment industry, most movies are revenge movies. I mean, someone does something to somebody and they done mess with the wrong person. You know, they done mess with someone who knows, has several black belts in judo or karate, and they go and get revenge. Or they're a special ops person, and they know how to do all kinds. They can break your neck in five different ways. And that's kind of movies, action movies. It's built on revenge. That's not Christianity, though, is it? But we like revenge. It's our entertainment, it seems like, of the world. It's a lot like the umpire. The umpire was pulled over by a police officer, and the umpire was given all sorts of excuses. You know, he usually doesn't speed, and it was just an unusual case, and the police officer said, take it up in court if you do not like this ticket. Well, the new ball season opens, and the first person up to bat was the police officer. And as he walked up to the plate, guess what? They recognized each other. And the police officer asked the umpire, well, how did it work out in court? The umpire said, you better swing at everything. Revenge. You know, we think about revenge. Getting even. Getting them back. It's like the truck driver that was very tired and he pulled over to a diner to rest and he ordered a plate of eggs and bacon and toast and he was sitting there minding his own business and three of the motorcycle gangs came and started picking on him. And one of them ate his bacon, the other one ate his eggs, and they threw the toast in his face. He didn't do nothing. He just very politely got up and paid his ticket and walked out. The lady behind the cash register goes out and just sees about him, and she comes back in, and the three motorcycle gang members said, "That wasn't much of a man, was he?" The lady said, "He's not much of a driver either. He just ran over three motorcycles with his 18-wheeler." Revenge. That's revenge. It's funny. He couldn't drive either, could he? Such a very special word in action is forgiveness. Forgiveness means to let loose, to let go. And when you forgive someone, you know who it really unbinds? Yourself. When you forgive, you're the one that is actually let loose of that bitterness and that resentment that comes in our hearts when we harbor unforgiveness. Unforgiveness will make you sick. It'll make you sick all the way around your soul and physically sick. And what a flood of emotion when we forgive or we are forgiven. Let's read what Jesus says about forgiveness. Luke chapter 17, verse 1. Then he said to the disciples, "It is impossible that no offenses should come." Wait a minute. It's impossible that no offenses will come. Think about that. We're going to be offended. It's impossible. It's going to happen. Who's married? It's impossible that offenses shall come right and shall not come if you're married. If you have any dealings with anybody, offenses will happen. I've been married over 28 years, and I tell you, Alicia just keeps on and keeps on and keeps on offending. Y'all believe that? I'm being sarcastic. But if you live married, you will get offended one way or another. Guess what? It happens in families. It happens in church families. Because any time you are with other people, offenses will happen. It's going to happen. They will happen. It's like the lady, her husband passed away before her, and she had put on his tombstone, "Rest in peace." Then she found out that he gave everything to the children and not to her. And then she had added to the tombstone, "Till I come." "Rest in peace, till I come." Forgiveness. Offenses is going to happen. How are we going to deal with them? Let's see. "But woe to him through whom they do come." That's very true. You know, in a marriage, when a husband and wife can't work it out, you know who really suffers? The little ones. Let's read verse 2. "It would be better for him if a millstone were hung around his neck and he were thrown into the sea than that he should offend one of these little ones." What does that mean, little ones? That can mean children. You know, in a church, when a church can't get along with each other, you know who gets hurt the most? It's not the mature Christians who, you know, can say, speak their mind. And are they really mature Christians? I don't know, but you know, they speak their mind in front of whoever or who. You know who gets offended? The young Christians. No matter what age they are, they're young Christians, babes in Christ. So the little ones, it's better for a millstone be hung around your neck than to offend a little one. Physically, it could be children. Spiritually, it could be babes in Christ. Verse 3. Take heed to yourselves. If your brother sins against you, rebuke him, and if he repents, forgive him. And if he sins against you 7 times in a day, and 7 times in a day returns to you saying, I repent, you shall forgive him. Wow. You know, for a brother or sister to come, for you to rebuke, which means saying, you know, I'm not talking about walking around with a chip on your shoulder and the least little thing sets you off and you offended me. You didn't say hi to me in the proper way. Come on, grow up some. Amen? But when someone truly offends and they come and you say, that hurt me deeply, brother. That hurt me deeply, sister. And Jesus says, if they repent, that means, repent means to turn. To turn around. To have a change of heart and mind. And they repent and ask for forgiveness. That takes communication, does it not? For you to say, that hurt me. And for that person to say, I'm sorry, I truly repent. That takes communication, doesn't it? It takes communication between a husband and a wife to communicate and to share their feelings and be intimate with one another. It takes a Christian to share their feelings, their emotions to a God that loves them and say, oh God, I'm hurt. Help me with this. I was offended. Help me with this. It takes communication. It takes communication for a brother and sister in Christ to work it out and say, that offended me. Well, I'm sorry. What can I do to make it right? I repent. It takes communication. It takes communication with husbands and wives, with families, and with churches. Communicate. I love the story. I've told it a couple of times, but I'm going to tell it again about communication. This man goes to the doctor and says, my wife's getting very hard of hearing. Well, the doctor, you know, he was there to see the doctor about himself, but he was telling about his wife. We don't do that, do we, men? My wife's getting hard of hearing. He said, well, how hard? How bad? She just can't hear nothing. He said, okay, well, wait till her back's turned to you and then start talking to her and see how bad her hearing is. So he comes home from the doctor visit and she's at the sink. He said, this is my opportunity. So he's kind of back in the kitchen and says, honey, what's for supper? She didn't say nothing. He gets a little closer. Honey, what's for supper? Boy, she's bad of hearing. Still nothing. Couldn't hear nothing. He gets a little closer. That's the same thing. No response. Then he goes right up behind her, right behind her ear. He was thinking, wow, she's just bad of hearing. Honey, what's for supper? She turns around and says, for the fourth time, chicken. Communication. Let's be honest. To communicate, we may think it's all the other person, but there's two sides to everything. Amen? There's two sides to everything. So to communicate, open up, talk, communicate, seek forgiveness. Blessed are the peacemakers. Blessed are the peacemakers. Offenses will come. Communication is very important. Let's read on. Listen to this. Christian faith is needed for Christian forgiveness. And Christian forgiveness increases our Christian faith. Let's see what Jesus says. And the apostle said to the Lord, increase our faith. Verse 5. You know, another gospel, another way of looking at this story. Another account in another gospel, Peter asked Jesus, how many times do I forgive? Jesus said 70 times 7. Why is that important? When we think of it, keep forgiving. We're human beings. We are still hurt. You know, one thing about God is when He forgives us, He throws our sin as far as east is from the west. That's pretty far, isn't it? Or it's like buried into the bottom of the ocean, never to be remembered anymore. But when we forgive, we're not God. We don't have the wisdom of God. He is holy God. And when He says something, He cannot lie. But when we forgive, guess what? We can't forget it. We can't. So when we keep remembering it, keep forgiving 70 times 7, which is a number of perfection, keep forgiving. And the disciples ask Jesus, increase our faith. Why is that important? Folks, we got to keep trusting in the Lord, okay? And when we keep forgiving, it increases our faith. And it takes Christian faith to have Christian forgiveness. Jesus, so the Lord said, verse 6, if you have faith as a mustard seed, you can say to this mulberry tree, be pulled up by the roots and be planted in the sea, and it would obey you. That's impossible, by the way. That can't be done. What's the meaning? It's impossible for us to forgive without God's help and faith in the Lord. It's impossible. Increase our faith to be able to forgive and be forgiven and to forgive ourselves. Doesn't the devil always throw back into our face the things that we have done and we pleaded before God and grabbed a hold of the horns of the altar and prayed through and asked God to help us, and He has forgiven us, and the devil keeps throwing it up. Forgive yourself. God has. God has. In which of you, verse 7, in which of you having a servant plowing or tending sheep will say to him when he has come in from the field, come at once and sit down to eat. But will he not rather say to him, prepare something for my supper, and gird yourself and serve me till I have eaten and drunk, and afterward you will eat and drink? Does he thank that servant because he did the things that were commanded him? I think not. Folks, to serve Jesus, you got to know Jesus first. And if you know Jesus, you serve Him because you're a servant. You don't belong to yourself anymore. You belong to Jesus. And it is our Christian duty to forgive. It's our duty to serve Him. We don't serve Him to gain eternal life. If you know Jesus, you have eternal life. We serve Him because we love Him. Jesus said, a servant is a servant. Does he thank that servant because he did the things that were commanded him? I think not. Verse 10. So likewise you, when you done all those things which you are commanded, say, we are unprofitable servants. We have done what was our duty to do. It's impossible without His help to forgive. Christian forgiveness. And when we forgive, forgiveness is our duty. What does that mean? If you are born again this morning and you've been saved by the grace of God, you have been forgiven of your sins, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And the wages of sin is death. But we have a gift of life through Jesus Christ. So you have been forgiven of sins. You have turned from sin. You repented and you turned to God and say, please forgive me because I can't do it. Nothing I can do can wipe my slate clean of sin. But holy God, please forgive me and help me. Your sin's gone. And if we keep on sinning, we don't want to sin, but when we confess, repent of our sins, and turn to God, God is the faithful one to forgive us and to cleanse us. The Greek word means He keeps on and He keeps on and He keeps on cleansing us from all unrighteousness. That's good news, isn't it? But listen, the New Testament teaching on forgiveness, the main central theme is, even as Christ forgave you, even so you forgive one another. Ouch! I can't get revenge. I can't set out and hold a grudge and just wait for my opportunity to stick them. I gotta forgive. It's impossible to do it in our flesh, amen? Our flesh wants revenge. Faith in Jesus. Even as Christ forgave you, and every one of us has been forgiven if you're born again. Even as Christ forgave you, so also do you. Have you experienced that forgiveness? I have. I stand in front of you as one that's been forgiven. Hallelujah. But you know what? If you've never experienced and you are experiencing, it's a continuation. You've never experienced that type of forgiveness. You can't forgive others like that. You can't. If you can't forgive, you absolutely cannot forgive. Is it easy? I'm not telling you it's easy. I'm standing in front of people. I stand as one. I've been offended. People have set out to offend me before. It's not easy. But with Christ's help, you can do it. But if you cannot forgive, please listen. Have you been forgiven? Have you been forgiven by Christ? Think about it. It's your duty to forgive as a Christian. It's your duty. During this invitation, I know God can work in the pew. He can speak to hearts, deal with people's hearts, and people can repent right there in the pew, and I know that happens. And if you're a born-again believer and you're harboring unforgiveness and you've God has touched your heart, if you're harboring unforgiveness and this the word of Jesus didn't touch your heart, you got a problem. I don't know if you're saved or not. Be honest with you. I'm being honest. But if God has touched your heart and the Holy Spirit's convicting your heart, you need to repent. You can do it right where you're at. And you can go make it right with whoever. It don't have to be in here. It can be done today, though. Or you may be one that says, I've never experienced forgiveness like that. And I need it. I want to have a relationship with Jesus. I want to know Jesus personally. I want to be forgiven by Jesus. I'll be here to help you all I can. I can pray with you. And you can receive Christ. And you can follow Him in believer's baptism. And you can be forgiven. Gone. Sins removed. By the way, you will never be able to stand before the holy God at the judgment unless you have Christ's righteousness and Christ's forgiveness. Amen? Because you're a sinner. You need forgiving. If we can gain righteousness any other way, why did God come in the flesh and die on the cross? For our sins. If there's some ritual you can do or some kind of prayer you can pray and that's it, why did Jesus die on the cross? Why? He died in vain. You call God a liar. Will you be forgiven this morning? Will you receive Christ? Let's pray. Lord, again, we thank you again for salvation, for forgiveness to be set free from sin. And it's all because of you, and it's all done through you, and it's done by you in us. So we give you praise even now. Oh Lord, please help us to tend to eternity at this time, and may it bring you glory. In Jesus' name, amen.